You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
I'd like someone to give me a very brief definition of mercy. Yes, sir.
Mercy is the setting aside of the punishment that was due a person.
With or without
the person deserving it.
So, mercy is a step beyond. A step beyond faith. Amen.
Yeah.
I just felt like making this a settled issue because I'll be making reference to that and I wouldn't want anyone to think, so where is faith here? God has a program and he establishes the program whether we like it or not. The counsel on walking by faith is to your advantage, but not God's advantage. We bless the Lord for his mercies. A period as today up to the next Sunday should always be a time of reflection and excitement and rejoicing in the heart of anyone who has seen the Lord and what he stands for. The glory of God, if you have experienced it, then this is the time you've got to be excited, you've got to be happy, you've got to be grateful to God, and then sit down to examine your life and know if you are still within the confines of this great thing that God has done for us. I am teaching briefly on something that appears a bit funny. The love dynamo. Apostle Peter says something. If you are in Christ, if you have been born again, sincerely be thirsty for what? You were born of the word. You've got to grow by and through the word, and you attain your heights by and through the word of God. If your source is the Spirit of God, then your fellowship with the Spirit of God will be your greatest asset to make you attain the reason why you were born. Every creature depends on its source. So if you are born of the Holy Ghost, then you cannot attain heights in life doing anything else outside what the Holy Ghost prompts you to do and what he guides you to attain. So I'm born of the word. I live by the word. I grow by the word. I'm corrected by the word and strengthened by the word. The absence of the word means the beginning of dryness in my life. And that is what it's supposed to be in your own case. So over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to take our place. And then give us his place. If you want to follow the world, in my village today, we'll be having palm branches. We'll go to church. The church I was born into, I don't want to mention anything, so I won't offend anybody here. Everybody holds some leaves or a whole branch, and then we go to church with that. And after the service, we move out of the chapel into the streets of the town with our palm fronds, and we'll be singing a particular song. You are a new generation people, you may not know the song. City people don't know some of these core songs that make us who we are today. And the Methodist Church was one end of the town, the Catholic Church was the other end. So a hymn, Breno, from this end, and they will be coming from that, and we'll meet at the center of the town, and then it is fun. We'll be announcing the fact that Jesus went to Jerusalem. What was significant about that one? This same day that Jesus went to Jerusalem, as we are trying to remember today, is also reduced to the eating of palm nut soup. Or you don't know about it.
Oh, no.
After service today, you should
be done.
On my bandwagon. Now, so that is how far we have gone. We have reduced very serious spiritual issues to mundane activities. So we just be going and be singing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And nobody taught us what the Hosanna was all about. So there was excitement, but beyond the excitement, there was nothing spiritual that one carried home. It's not as if they didn't preach, they did, but we couldn't take it. Why? We were not trained in that dimension. It took me a long time to know that I got born again in the church I'm talking about as an infant. I did not know it. So I've been born again for about 7 times. Do you know why? How many of you know catechism? You went through the catechism Sunday school?
Yes, sir.
And then they graduated you. Whose name were you calling that time? Whose name?
Mary.
They told us that Jesus came to die for sinners. And we believed. And we said it. But they did not make us understand that what we're doing was actually a new birth exercise that we're doing. At one point, people came to the house where I was and said I should follow them. They wanted me to be a member of their church. So they took me and went and baptized me. Put me inside water. But they didn't let me know what that was all about. So if I talk about some of these things that we do without knowing the spiritual import. You know, if you go to Kumasi today, where I was baptized, you may not trace the place again. This day that we are remembering that Christ went to Jerusalem is a very crucial thing. It was quite scary. At one point in John chapter 11, when he told the disciples, when he was told that Lazarus was dead, and he said, we are going back to Judea. And he said, what? You were stoned a few days ago and you want to go back? So going to Jerusalem was very risky for him. The opposition was heaviest there in Jerusalem. But something was at work in his life that was pushing him in spite of the dangers that were ahead. But we bow to dangers so easily. One danger is rainfall. It is time for service. It is raining. God has exalted you from ordinary salt to a salt of impact. And when it starts raining, you don't move because your saltiness will be washed away. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I remember some years ago I was teaching in Nigeria, and a colleague of mine, a lady, we were all in one church. We were in what you call Winners Chapel International here. We were members of the church in that town where we were. And it was time for us to go for evening service. And it began to rain. And I told the sister, let us go. He said, we will get wet. I said, why don't we exercise some little faith that we talk about every time? If you trust God, you should be able to commit God into doing things. That's what Jesus did. Going to Jerusalem was a very, very serious matter. But there was something that was moving him. It is what I describe as a love dynamo. The love of God in expression was that person called Jesus. The program of God had to be accomplished through him. The danger was there. He could have been killed, and yet he braced it. He was moved by love. Now, I remember when I told the sister that I'm going, wait, when the rain stops, then you can come. I stepped into the water, into the rain. I took a few steps, and somebody came to the compound of the college where we were teaching and turned and gave me a lift. Straight to the church. And that sister was there. Rain beat her. You know, the rain stopped for a moment and she decided to go. And as she entered, she was enveloped. It was like the army of Pharaoh that entered the Red Sea, thinking that there was a passage, and they were engulfed by the rain. But thank God that this one was not destroyed. She came to church with a testimony that God is faithful. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
If you have a vision of who God has said you are and where he wants you to be and what you have to accomplish, not just for your sake, but for the sake of the kingdom, you will take steps that only men can describe you as being bold, that you are courageous. No. You are responding to the force of love. It is this force of love that Jesus responded to go to Jerusalem. And what awaited him over there was something that would have sent any ordinary person into the bush. All the leaders of the land, the Pharisees, that is the far you see, the sad you see, sad you see, you know, and the scribes who were just like our modern day journalists, writing almost everything they see, what they smell, what they think must be, everything goes on paper. So they have a whole sheet against you. They mention your name, Jesh, and where? Then they call the things that you've done before the Sanhedrin, and you are finished. All of them were there. They stood to their duty points, and they were out for Jesus. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and everybody was shouting. He was sitting on what? No, a donkey. Now, and people spread their clothes. Some were holding palm branches, and they were shouting and calling him the king. And his enemies got offended. They were there. Tell the people who are following you to keep quiet. Tell your disciples you want to keep quiet. And he made a statement. If all these ones will keep quiet, these stones. And I told him, I said, those were not ordinary stones. It was an abstract thing. There were stones that were heaped there. They were stones of testimony that were picked from the base of Jordan when they crossed the river on their way to the promised land. You remember that story?
Yes, sir.
Yes. They picked 12 stones from the base and they threw 12 stones to the base. Now, what they picked, they heaped them. They were stones of prophecy about God's dealings, what he said he would do. Jesus knew it. And he said, if you make these ones keep quiet, these stones. He didn't say stones. He said these stones. Specific. They were prophetic stones. They were speaking of God's power. And he told them they will talk. And I said something while preaching that I will never allow any stone to take my place. I won't allow any stone to do what?
To take my place.
So when we come to church and we are praising God, and you become conscious of your degrees, your PhD and PWD, because from PhD, you must join PWD, Public Works Department. If you refuse to go, that title will be upon your head. Now, you now stand there and you are looking at people. It's very interesting, though. Very interesting. Now, become the pros once it's time for praise. Sure. Because we are too conscious of who we are in society. How can I be doing what everybody else is doing? And so you do. How many of you have seen houseflies before? Housefly. Do you know they shake their hands?
Yes.
You have seen them?
Yes, sir.
They will shake hands. I don't know what they are doing. I don't understand what they do. But many believers do that in church. This is how you do it. This is how you are clapping. This is how your fingertips together is what you are doing. If they turn it like this, if this one should keep quiet, these stones. So you will make a stone take your place. So on a day like this, the divine announcement is our life of sacrifice. Sacrifice brought us to where we are today, and sacrifice will take us to the next level.
Hallelujah, sir.
And sacrifice is born out of love. That is why I said I'm talking about the love dynamo. It's a force that takes you from one level of attainment to the other level. In the things of the spirit. Apostle Paul made a statement in Second Corinthians and 13:14. Is that where it is? Or first? 13:14. Who is there? Or first, eh? Yeah. 12 and the last verse. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire the best gifts. That is, put your faith online for the best gifts. Because yet I show you a more excellent way that will not call for your input, but will bring to you that which you expect. That's the threshold of mercy. When love is at work, you are entangled with the glories of God, and things begin to happen. So Jesus went to Jerusalem out of love. He never had needed salvation. We were the ones who needed salvation. He went and took our place. Like the song that we sing, and we owe a debt we couldn't pay. But he paid a debt that he never owed. We needed someone to pay the debt to make us free. And he was the one who had to pay it. He didn't owe any, but he went in there. He never committed any sin. He never owed the devil anything. Satan came and he has nothing in him. He said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Many of us, we have properties of the devil inside us. And so he comes to visit. The reason why the devil will not leave you free is that you are keeping his treasures.
Oh.
When they mention your name, the next thing is that he's a very hot-tempered person. So anger is from the devil. He has placed that one in you, and he's a businessman. He must come and check for dividends. You don't want the devil to come and disturb you, then give him his properties. anger, envy, all manner of things, covetousness. Covetousness, I don't even understand why it is still around here. Now you have Christ, and you are still covetous. Your shirt is not okay for you until you see somebody's shirt. The moment somebody tells you, I'm 50 years old, you say, I cannot be 50 with this guy now. So you change your age to 51. How can this one be older than me? Oh, we have gone to a lot of extremes. We take them for granted. It's covetousness. One guy told me, there was one pastor in Nigeria, he was also called Isaiah. So I called him, you say you're Isaiah? I said, yes, I'm the original, you are not. He looked at me, he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, at that time, I have to say yes, sir, because I got small post. You understand? Now, what if you are Isaiah and he is Isaiah? What's your problem? Why should he have the same name with me? Those are elements of the devil that operate in our lives that gives you seat to come and sit by us, and then we grant him interview. You take those things for granted, but they are not of God. You were born, conceived in love, born in love, and you are committed to love. It takes only love to take you to your next level in life. That's how you are going to make it. This occasion should remind you of where you came from. There is nothing you have to do in the kingdom that you should be afraid of what people will say. What will people say? Okay, what wouldn't they say? People are always talking. Are they not talking? You go to church early, they will talk. If you go late, they will talk. You dress well, they will talk. If you don't dress well, they will talk. So what will you want to do? So live according to the love of God at work in you. Jesus took that step. He knew he was going to die. Several times I've sat down to ask him this question. Why did you behave the way you behaved? You knew you were going to be killed. You still went there. And when the thing became serious, you are asking God, if it's possible, let this thing now pass by me. Why did you go there in the first place? But indeed, what Jesus prayed about was not the fear of death, but the fear of the wrong death. Hello? He wasn't afraid of going to die, but he didn't want to die outside the cross. Otherwise, the love element would be defeated. The attempts on his life to kill him, they were increasing in numbers. Right there in Jerusalem, they could have stoned him. Somebody could have shot him. Somebody could have done anything, strangled him to death. And he prayed that God should not allow any such thing, let this kind of thing pass by me. Let your will alone be done. And the will of God was he must go to the cross. And he was looking at the cross, looking at death. And he was looking at you and looking at me. You don't have to go this way. He said, what about these, my people, who are in bondage? Love pushed him. So you cannot be a person who is partaking in the glories of Christ and be one who does not love. You know me very well when I talk about this issue of love. I sometimes become a bit emotional about it because I don't know what you have that you think you are better than somebody else. I don't know the kind of environment you live in that you cannot forgive. I don't understand you if you say, this person, I wish you were dead. I don't know. If it were to be in my youthful days, if you say that thing, I will stamp it for you spiritually. You want to die. Nobody wants to kill you. But I will not kill you. I will say amen. Yes, I will say amen. Since that is your desire. All because you can't forgive somebody. I've told you here before, we're appealing to one man to forgive a sister. All of us were in the same assembly. And he said, even if God comes down. Oh yes. Even if God comes down, I can't forgive her. When his car, myself and my pastor were going on evangelism, when his car. So pastor said, stop the car. He said, Dickie, get down, let's go. So we left his car for him. Because that man was a treacherous person. Even if God comes down, where is he going to put God? And strangely enough, I only understand. We had prayed for everybody to get Holy Ghost baptism. They got, he alone did not receive. We prayed for him about 4 times. So when he behaved that way, then my pastor said, no wonder this guy didn't receive the Holy Ghost baptism. He said his head, the skull is too thick. That even the Holy Ghost cannot go through. Praise God. Your habitat is love.
Yes, sir.
I want to remind you of that one. Where he placed you. He laid down his life before he brought you there to live in love and operate in love. If you do that, you can do anything for the kingdom and will not feel the pain of it. Don't let us celebrate the day without looking at our lives to know whether we love or we don't. Don't pretend to love because your heart lies bare open before the Lord. He knows it. The Bible says he is the one by whom all actions are what?
Weighed.
Are weighed. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Now, having said what I said concerning the love dimension to get the things of the Spirit, let's read one or two scriptures and then we are excited when we demonstrate the anointing of God, when we begin to see power performing. We are excited. That is what we go for. So in our haste and our quest to manifest power, we forget about character. And character is inside that seed called love. We forget. Second Peter 1. So much was said about this on Thursday. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can we read that together?
Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained life's treasure with us by the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ.
2.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Grace and what?
Peace.
Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. Amen.
Amen.
Grace and peace. What did we do to deserve grace? Did you do anything?
Yes, sir.
Grace is a force that comes from love. Grace, the grace of God comes from God, God's person, his personality. The Bible calls him love. God is who? Love. Not that God loves, but he is love. Right. Now, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, be in abundance over your life. It was a way of greeting, but here there's a spiritual substance over there. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now go to the next verse. As his divine power has given to us
all things.
How many things?
All things.
That pertain to what?
Life and godliness.
Through
the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Grace is what is producing this. But its manifestation is through knowledge. What you don't know, you can't profit from. according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You are very important.
Yes, sir.
You are very, very important.
Yes, sir.
That God called you, he called you by glory and what?
Virtue.
And in whom is the glory and virtue? Who?
Christ.
John chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
And verse what?
Verse 14. 14.
Read 15.
14.
14, 15. You understand this. In him, he was full of what?
Grace
and truth. And virtue. Grace and virtue. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what?
Fellowship.
The fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit, they be with you now and for what?
Evermore.
Forever. Grace is the product of the love compartment of God. And God is love. And from there, he sends to us things that bring about comfort and peace and abundance of all things. They come from the love dimension of God. He brings them as grace because we don't merit those things. We did not work for them. Nobody worked for salvation in this place. But God himself bestowed this upon us out of his love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever will accept this as coming from God will be saved. I have not used belief. If you believe, you will accept. If you believe, you embrace him. That's why I brought in the element of accepting him. If you accept him as God says he is, then you will be saved. So Jesus moved to the cross because love compelled him. It was the will of the Father that he should come and give himself for us. And that through him we will be saved, we will become liberated from the grips of the enemy with the devil to give us a future and a hope. That's why he came. And the price he had to pay was the price of love. I must go. I don't need it, but these people who are my brothers and my sisters, they need this. My father needs this book back to himself. If I don't pay the price, my father will lose. How often do we think about ourselves in this manner? That you are still on this earth today, and you are still sitting here today because there's an assignment that God has programmed for your life. And if you should pursue it, it will bring glory to God himself. How much do we think of such? How much of love do we show to God himself? Do we love him? But Jesus did. I can't imagine anybody looking at death. Death is standing before you. You are going to meet death. And then, who would you do now? But he had to go. He had to go. That is why you must remember today that your life, the glory of your life all passes through the passage of love. If it is not there, you cannot become what God wants you to be. Stop worshiping yourself and use yourself to worship God. Stop. You value yourself too much to the detriment of who made you valuable. He is the one that made you of value. He is the one that brought you to realms of virtue, the realms of grace, the realms of shining. You shine. You see, when we say we talk about this year, we say, my light is what?
Shining.
It's shining. You forget where the light comes from. You forget who is helping that your light to shine. And you don't give him premium in your life. Jesus did that. It was a unique privilege for him to come and save mankind. He did that one with joy. Right there in Jerusalem, he began to show how the life in God should be like. Everything that he did in the temple that we talk about generously and forget that we are doing what they did. They were doing business in the church. They were selling it. Everything that will make them better in their own imagination was what they were doing over there. The core thing about this place of worship was not what their concern was. Now, that is why some of us will take time to have a shower, rub pomade, dress very well. Ladies will do their makeups. You know, if you take makeups from them, they will go on demonstration. It's not like these teachers' demonstration that they use money to confuse them. But women go on demonstration, you won't like it. All these men, you won't like the women on demonstration. You will suffer. Don't let them go on demonstration. No. Go ordinary food, you won't get to eat. Praise God. Now, but we don't care about the state of the place where we gather with God. Why? The love of God is not at work in our lives. It is there for our benefit, but we don't make it something that will benefit the kingdom. That's the reason why you find it difficult to share Christ with somebody else. Difficult to tell someone that Jesus loves him and that what he did, you won't be a dam that will dam the salvation and won't allow it to flow. You are damned. You've damned the blood of Jesus. You won't allow it to flow. You must allow the blood that came to your deliverance for your deliverance to flow from you to another person. This blood must not clot. Doesn't have the capacity to clot, but we don't allow it to flow. Why? The absence of practical dimensions of love in our lives. I have a friend, I was talking so much about him, Apostle Sansa. And he's not the only one that I've seen. I've seen a lot of people who have so much compassion for the lost that they can weep. You go on retreat with Apostle Sansa, you know, he will leave the place where we were praying and go into the bush, and you hear him crying. And he's crying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. He'll be mentioning tribes and have mercy. Visit them. Bring them salvation. But we're okay with the salvation we have. We have made this too. We'll sit on it. We talk. It's a megaphone. We talk it. But we don't want other people to benefit from our salvation. We don't love people. Jesus laid his life down for us to be what we are today. We say, I'm born again. I speak in tongues. And we allow you will speak in tongues from morning till night. If that tongue cannot translate in the show of love to your neighbor, say you should love your neighbor as would what? Yourself. This is the price he paid to bring it. Because he loved us. And the people he was going to save were the same people who were persecuting him. They wanted to kill him. The same people. If it were to be one of us here, maybe I will open so coming. Quiet. Maybe a better one. And now I'm tired. We give up. Give up. Just easy like that. Talk to somebody about Christ once, twice. Miami You would have died long ago. Somebody like me, they have to follow me everywhere, preaching the gospel. People were praying for my salvation. I didn't understand why they were behaving like that. That I should be saved. Is it by force? But they were doing it until salvation came. So how will I now be angry with somebody because the person is not doing what I think she should do? That is right. Now, everything that pertains unto what?
Life
and what?
Godliness.
Everything that we can talk about as a divine nature of God that we are made partakers of came to be through an expression of love. And if we must enjoy it, we set the table of love and we begin to enjoy that. I was privileged to be raised by a man who practiced love. And he manifested all manner of gifts. I've called his name here over and over again. Incidentally, he comes from the area where Basi comes from. Now, that man was a man of great, great, great nobility to the point that some business people wanted to kill him because he refused to give them what they wanted. Yes, he was working with the Central Bank of Nigeria. At a point, he was in charge of Forex. So one Alhaji packed money and gave to one of his boys. Go and give to that man and tell him I need so and so amount of dollars and whatever like that. So the guy went to him and he said, my father asked me to give you this. This is what he wants. And then he looked at the man. He said, your father? Who is your father? He mentioned the name. He said, go and tell your father that my father has the whole world's wealth. My father is the richest person in the world, so I don't need his money. They went to tell the man. The man sent elderly people to him. When he refused, they said they would transfer him. They used his boss to engineer his transfer. He was there. They sent a letter of transfer to him. The wife was agitated. She was worried. As soon as the man went, he said, why this transfer again? He said, what transfer? Who brought me here? Nobody can transfer me. The one that brought me here will transfer me when it is time. So for him, just look for some food to eat. They can't. That was the man who was operating the dimensions of faith because his love for God was deep. Oh. And so he just cut the letter like this. He showed me that letter. He said, brother, the person that wrote this letter has a problem, not me. He said, father, I've not finished the work you sent me to come and do over here. So that person must go on transfer for the work to continue. It's not just transfer the man got. He got demoted. Mm-hmm. And was transferred. But Anta got promotion. I saw those things in that man. I have not been able to read the level of manifestations that I saw in him. But there's one thing I can say for certainty. I love the Lord. And I love my salvation. So love the Lord. And the best way to love is to treasure your salvation. That Jesus will not die in vain. God should be able to count on you. That if he assigns you with this, you won't let the post kill you. I've met many people who are ordained deacons. As the moment you ordained deacons, they became lords. Their hands came from praising God into their pockets. You'll be given instructions. Carry that cheek, that set, that seat. Then his hand will be in his pocket. Brother, pick that one now. Take it to the back. His hands are in the pocket. Are you now a leper? Can't you pick? Can't you pick? I used to be in praise and worship. When I became a pastor, people were the ones singing, the choristers and the rest were singing. So I raised offering at Bishop Abiy's church that time, in Maiduguri. And then when I raised the offering, I called the choir to sing. He said, "Choir, sit down. Are you now a novice that you can't sing? Fosu, sing by force." You know, it was something that made people laugh, but me, it was a huge instruction to me. When did you graduate from singing? That somebody should be doing the singing for you. You are taking offering. Just to raise one song for everybody to follow. He said, "Choir should come and sing." By the time they organize themselves, get up from the seat. That's one. Then they start moving. And when they start moving, they check on each other if everybody is moving. I see that happening here too. I sit down and I watch you. I laugh. By the time they will settle here and take microphone, 5 minutes is gone. You understand? Yes, so why don't you sing? So I have to sing. That was when I sang. He said, "Didn't you like the way you sang?" He was teaching me something. You should never come to a point where any lifting that God will bring your way should now make you stop doing what you were doing in the kingdom. Mm. Pastors, I'm telling you this one because I've gone through it. When it is time to pray, you won't pray. When it is time to fast, you won't fast. One pastor announced fasting. Church members were diligent enough. They were fasting. Then the time for prayer, somebody said, "Let me just go to pastor and remind him of something he mentioned." He saw him with a bowl of fufu.
Hey!
What's he doing? So with the other, we didn't know. Fufu is the name of all shit. And I saw Banuku Pienusu. And after that, will you be able to have confidence enough to say, "Let us fast"? If I don't fast, the pastor, resident pastor, knows why I'm not fasting. So be careful. The liftings of God are responsive to your love. And the love should not wane or shouldn't die because you are lifted.
Yes, sir.
You are lifted by God to give you a husband because you walked in love. Don't turn your love into something else. The moment you get a husband, he's a Christian. He has put a ring on my finger. And the Lord says we should not divorce. So I do whatever I want to do. And the man will also be saying, "I've paid your bride price. You are my property." There's a way they call property when they want to confuse a woman. "You are my property. I paid. You are forgotten that it was God's grace that brought you here. Look at your face in the mirror and you will know you are very ugly. And God gave you a beautiful wife to overshadow the ugliness. So remember the love of God for you and walk with that woman in love." Hail the King. Very soon they will shout, "Crucify him." Very soon. Crucify him. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of opposition, where you appear to be down, let your heart be lifted in love for God. And tell the Lord, "Glorify yourself in me one more time." Samson did it, but in a very bad way. Samson became wayward. He broke the covenant, and then his eyes were plucked out, and the prayer he prayed to God, he could have said something different. He said, "Let me this one more time. Help me this one more time." And God heard him. He put down the pillars of the place where the Lord had gathered. And the Bible says he killed more people than he did before that time.
Yeah.
He died. But he also died. Because he said one more time. Yours is not one more time. It is unto the time the Lord will call you. Remember, you are a product of love. And you must keep on loving. This kingdom calls for the love of God in you. For he's showing forth. And then you keep on going forward. Finally, brethren, don't ever think of yourself as inferior. Don't ever think that God doesn't need you for anything he wants to do. Mary was hiding somewhere, doing her own thing. God located her. If they had put the thing on the bill that some people should apply for, Mary couldn't have applied that a savior will come through her. No way. But God knows how he picks people. You are not as small as you think you are. Just walk in the love of God and he will show his glory at a time you least expect. It's just by you. He wants to cause his light to shine upon you again. So allow him. And love is the attracting point. That's a magnet that brings in the things of God. You are full of divine dimensions and they will find expression as you walk in love. May the Lord remember you for good today. And may the love that you are showing forth to neighbors and to God himself begin to bear fruits. In the name of Jesus Christ. May this moment bring you to a point of reflection, introspection, that you'll be able to see that there is something more for you to do for the kingdom.
Amen.
Your life will not be wasted.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is a new beginning for you.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You have not experienced the love of Christ because you have not given yourself to him. If you are here like that, I want you to take a step today and surrender yourself to Jesus and begin to enjoy the love that he came to show to us. If you want to ask Jesus to come into your life, I want to pray with you before I stand to leave here. If there's anybody like that, there is no shame in coming to him. If you are ashamed of him, he will also be ashamed of you on the last day. Anybody like that, just indicate by raising your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. You want to say, Jesus, come into my life, give me a transformation, and let me become useful to the kingdom. If there's anybody like that, let me see your hand up. Outside that one, everybody lift up your right hand and say this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
I
thank you
that Jesus
loved me and he came to die for me. When he rose again, he showed me the love more by sending the Holy Ghost upon my life. And today I stand in faith
and in
love.
I take grace from you
to love. Love you, Lord, and love neighbors. And then love your kingdom and do the things that please you. I thank you for help. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, their special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.